by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And it's another week of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Of course, you can go back and listen to all of our programs from years past at the on-demand section of our app. And I say years past, Janet. It's wild that we have years under our belts.
It is crazy. And I know we talk about this all the time, but man, it is unreal. All the different things that go on with game and fish in Wyoming. And we're just really happy that you are giving us the opportunity to let people know about it.
It's kind of weird. We go through a phase in the first part of the year that's kind of a lull. It's a little bit of a lull where there's not as much action going. And then all of a sudden, the dam opens up and it just flushes full of information.
And that's exactly where we are, is in the middle of that flush right now, trying to figure out left and right what information we need to get out for people. And that's a great thing about Wyoming, though, as an outdoor enthusiast, it's never dull. There's never not something going on. And here at the Game and Fish, we just want to make sure that we're letting everybody know about those opportunities.
One of the things that we've really been covering a lot for the last, 6 months or so are public meetings, which those are very important to the information collected by Game and Fish to go to the season setting meetings, which we're to that point of the year, too.
That's right. Hunting season setting meetings are starting March 19th is the first one here in Casper. So this Wednesday, don't hesitate to pop in and check on how things are going. And then the following night is going to be our Glen Rock meeting. And then that next week, for those of you that have kids, is spring break. And that's when we're having a lot of other meetings throughout the state. So just kind of a heads up to watch that. And in case you are going on a spring vacation, don't forget that we always post all of the PowerPoint presentations. So that's a video essentially on YouTube of each of our biologists giving out information about what they're proposing for hunting seasons. And that includes, you know, the quotas for each area. That includes changes in season dates that might be going on. So check that out. And then you can make online formal comments if you're not able to make any of those season setting meetings. And I know next week, Drew, we're going to go way in depth on all of those things. And so you can also just tune in here and we'll fill you in.
Yeah, and it's very important, again, that you let your voice be heard. If you have issues or you want to learn more about it, go to wgfd.wyo.gov, get all the information.
That's right. And Drew, I want to remind people is that's not just a time to tell us that you hate everything we're doing, but it's also a time to let us know that you're supporting things and the way that we're doing things, because oftentimes the squeaky wheel gets heard. And so we want to make sure everyone has a voice in those meetings. And whether you support us or not, let us know. And that way we can work to manage your wildlife.
So again, go check out all the dates. We'll keep you up to date with that as well. And you know, this time of year, there's the old Pearl Jam song that pops in my head, "Even Flow," and in my head, I sing "Flushing Flows,"
and
it fits right in. And it really is a '90s rock song.
You're taking me back to high school, Drew. This is fantastic. I love what you're doing right now.
That happens to be about the time that Flushing Flows began in Wyoming. So it really just all ties into Pearl Jam.
It really does. I love it. Now I'm never going to think of that differently. Every year I'm just going to be playing that song over and over, thinking about some high school stories and some things that we used to be doing in those days. But yeah, it is fantastic that it is time to be visiting the North Platte River again, which I do think we were doing at high school too.
Last year we talked about this, the year before we talked about this, and the year prior to that we talked about Flushing Flows, because it happens every year around the same time of March. Now, Matt Hahn is with us today, and Matt, every year it seems like it may be a different week. How are the weeks picked for the Flushing Flows?
Well, Drew, so we usually shoot for mid-March for a start on the Flushing Flow. And the reason for that is we want to get it done prior to April. April's the month when the vast majority of rainbow trout spawning happens downstream of Gray Reef Dam. So we want to get it done prior to the onset of the main spawning push. And that means we have to shoot for mid-March.
Drew, I think it would be fantastic if you make Matt tell us what the flushing flows are. Maybe some of the listeners haven't been joining us for 4 years and they don't even understand what the term flushing flow is and what it does for our waters.
Matt, what is it that flushing flows are?
Yeah, so the flushing flow is something where we work, Game and Fish works in cooperation with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to get pulses of water down the North Platte River below Gray Reef to flush out accumulated fine sediment from spawning habitat for trout, which is like gravelly riffles. As that sediment accumulates in those riffles, it impacts the ability of those trout eggs to survive. So these flushing flows are important to kind of prep that spawning habitat so that we do get good reproduction on the trout. And in a river like the North Platte downstream of Gray Reef, it's what we call a tailwater, meaning it's downstream of a one or more reservoirs. And those reservoirs, of course, they store the spring runoff to use as irrigation water later. And so because it doesn't get that natural pulse of water every spring, the fine sediments can really accumulate. It's a problem that is you'll find in every tailwater river in the world. And so in order to kind of mimic that natural flow regime where you get those bigger flows in the spring with snow runoff, we're able to do it with the Bureau of Reclamation artificially here in this case, where we can have these higher pulsed flows that kind of do the same thing. They move around the gravel and clean it of fine sediment and kind of get everything ready for a good, successful trout spawn.
So if we were to rely on the runoff and the snowmelt, when we have years that haven't been particularly snowy and you know, a big snow collection, it would be hard to rely on something like a natural flow to really do what we need to be done with the flushing flow.
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of variability in a natural system. So if you think about the North Platte upstream of Seminole, where it's freestone, meaning it's not impounded, the spring flows can be incredibly variable up there. You know, in a really bad drought year, it could be as low as a couple thousand cubic feet per second. In a big water year, it could be as high as 15 to 20,000 cubic feet per second. So those systems are a lot more dynamic, a lot more variable. And with the tailwater situation we have here, you know, it's basically temperatures are always about the same, flows are always about the same, and we can basically prescribe the flushing flow to mimic natural conditions, but it can be done in a prescribed manner that coincides with the optimal time. And past studies have looked into what the optimal flows are to get that, to achieve that level of cleaning. So, you know, it's completely an artificial system being a tailwater, but because of that, we're able to basically create the world-class trout population that it is.
Since it began 30 years ago, which it's crazy to think that 95 was 30 years ago, but the amount of trout and the fishery has exploded. Where how many trout were estimated per mile when it began in like 1995?
Yeah, it was very variable. Typically, it was less than 1,000 fish per mile, less than 1,000 trout per mile. There were periods of time following really big water years where the reservoirs were spilling and the river did get what amounts to a flushing flow. And then following that, you'd see a couple of years of really good natural reproduction. And then as that silt accumulated, that reproduction would tail off. And so I think there were a couple times in the 80s, if I remember right, where the populations got as high as like 7,000-8,000 fish per mile, maybe a little higher, after following those really big water years, but then would rapidly go back down to you know, kind of the baseline of less than 1,000 fish per mile in the absence of flushing flows, and occasionally as low as 200 to 400 fish per mile. And after extended periods of drought, like after 5 or 6 years of kind of drought conditions, the population could fall really low.
So really that goes back to where the research is what was used to say, oh, wow, look at this. If we can pipe down a lot of more water through there than normally flows, that it really does good for the fishery.
And, you know, Drew, that is one thing that we often do, and people often look at the idea of a flushing flow and they kind of roll their eyes and they say that does nothing. And I just want to point out that when all of this kind of started, or I shouldn't say that, when Matt first started kind of with the Game and Fish many years ago, he and an aquatic habitat biologist worked together to kind of implement this freeze core sample protocol on the river, where they went through and they used this liquid nitrogen and these core samples, and they could actually measure all these fine sediments and determine whether or not the flushing flow really did impact the spawning, the gravel for spawning fish. And it's really fascinating to see, you know, some of those pictures of the old days when they did those things. Gosh, that's so crazy that we can talk about the old days of the job already. But, you know, and the data that that provided to show like, hey, this really is impactful, and here's the science to show it. And just want to remind folks that, you know, we don't necessarily have to collect that data now because we do know that it is successful. But what a great invention, what a great way to do some science and get the data so that we can make the North Platte River. They often talk about it like from a ditch to a destination. And I think that that's exactly what these guys have done, is they took this ditch and they made it a destination where people come from all over the world to fish.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that not only is it a great thing for fishing, but it's a great thing for the economy around here. So it really works hand in hand with, you know, ensuring that Wyoming gang and fish are top notch. So it really is fun. And we start this on the 17th. It'll go for 10 days. And Matt, at what levels will the 10 days span? Will it all be flushed the same amount every day, or how does this break down?
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, some years it gets cut short for whatever reason. You know, if the Bureau of Reclamation has an issue with the power generating unit or something like that, occasionally it gets shortened, or there'll be a pause in the middle, but it's, you know, for unforeseen circumstances. But the plan is 10 days in a row, they begin releasing water at midnight up at Gray Reef, and they ramp it up to 4,000 CFS by, I think, 3 o'clock in the morning. They hold it steady for 3 or 4 hours, and then it starts kind of stepping back down and goes back down to 500 CFS, which is what the flow is right now, by 10 a.m. That's up there. And then that pulse of water, you know, takes time to work its way down the river. So if you're in town here, you'll see the water start coming up in early to mid-afternoon. You might notice it's starting to come up, and then by, you know, by the time 5 or 6 o'clock rolls around, it's the full on 4,000 CFS here. So
we do want to remind Drew, all of the water users, that increase is drastic, right? So areas that at one time were safe to be, you know, throwing your dummy out for your dog into the water and letting them, you know, kind of run out and swim a little bit will now be, you know, underwater greatly and have very swift currents. So it becomes dangerous very quickly. And as this moves in, I mean, it's not like, you know, a tsunami or anything, but if you're not paying attention, it can creep up on you. And we have had years where people get stuck out on islands because they are wandering out and fishing in the middle of the river. And then they look down and all of a sudden it's at their waist and they didn't, you know, realize it. So we do want all water users to be aware of this, not just anglers, but, you know, dog walkers, homeowners, everybody, and to really take precaution over those 10 days to make sure that you're aware of where it is and what's happening. Because there's even things like we've seen cows floating down the river. We've seen logs floating down the river. Like there's all sorts of debris. So just, you know, kind of keep your eyes open and make sure that you're being safe.
I mean, this may sound twisted, but I'd sure like to see a cow floating down North Platte River. I mean,
hey, I know where your studio is. Just look outside. It might happen. So,
well, Matt, if it starts at midnight at the dam, by the time it reaches Glendo, is it like late evening at that part?
It's days later by the time it gets to Glendo. It takes a couple of days for water from Gray Reef to make it down to Glendo. So, you know, if you're at Gray Reef Dam at sunup, it's basically starting to tail off. If you're in Casper, it kind of starts ramping up here in mid-afternoon, peaking around 6 or 7 at night. If you're down at Glen Rock, it's probably getting there in the middle of the night, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And if you're clear down at Glendo, it's going to be the next day. And the other thing is the further you get from Gray Reef Dam, the lower the peak is, because that water gets attenuated and kind of spread out over a long distance. So by the time you get down to Glendo, the peak is like 2,500 CFS, not 4,000 CFS, because that's been kind of stretched out over 120 miles of river.
Well, of course, it's 10 days or so starting tomorrow, Monday, March 17th.
That's right. And Drew, just want to give a huge shout out and a huge thank you to the Bureau of Reclamation. Without them and their fantastic math skills at figuring out all these different flows, it wouldn't be possible. And those guys are actual magicians when it comes to figuring out the water levels and the release rates and everything for the entire water system that we manage here for fisheries. And so just a huge thank you for their continued support and working with them, because it makes a difference to all of Casper and Casper's economy and Douglas and everybody else that it is a fishing destination. So applaud them.
Very good. Go check out more details if you need them at wgfd.yo.gov.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. We're rolling right through March already. I can't believe that spring is here. And Janet Millick from Wyoming Game and Fish Department is with us. As always, Janet, you think you always get cut out of the show, but you are on it for at least a small sliver.
I know you cut me out, Drew, because I talk a lot more than I ever hear on the radio. So, yes, but that's okay. I'm fully on board when we have the fantastic experts in Game and Fish that are always able to join us. I'm okay that I'm the one that gets cut, because they've got the fantastic information.
So we have talked a lot over the years about how Wyoming Game and Fish, the regulations, the rules, the licensing, it's really clear as mud. On a lot of situations where there are situations that people have heard about it and maybe never even thought about moving along because of how confusing it could be. But if you really get rolling along and you do your research, it's not as confusing as you may think.
That's right. You know, I think that over the years, Game and Fish has recognized that a lot of the things that we have done in the past and still do are barriers to people getting into hunting or fishing, because they can be a little bit more complex and kind of intimidating. And so we want to make sure that we are always making processes easier and you know, that we're here for customer service 100% of the time. So even if you feel like we're not making it easier, you can always call. You can always stop in a regional office or by your local game warden station and find out some of the information. Like today is a perfect example of something that I can remember when I first started with Game and Fish. It was just kind of jaw-dropping to see this process. And now today, I don't even know that it went on this weekend.
Yeah, bear bait. That is something. And honestly, if you wouldn't have said, hey, did you know that bear bait is a thing? I would have been like, huh. Jason, thanks for coming on. And I'll tell you that it is a surprise to me that this is an opportunity that people can have in Wyoming. But let's start, I guess, from the very beginning. Who can actually apply for a bear bait site?
Anyone can apply for a bear bait on public land in Wyoming as long as they have a black bear license. So that's the first thing they need to do, is either go online and purchase one, or go to a license selling agent or a regional office and purchase a black bear license. Right now we're in the renewal period. So those folks who had a bear bait last year have preference to renew those sites. as long as they baited that site and provided GPS locations. So from March 1st to March 20th, we're in the renewal period. So that can be done online. An individual can go, they log on to our website. They go to the regulation page, to the black bear regulations, and then there's a link there that they can renew their site. Folks can also, they can stop by the office and we can help them through that process. We can do it. We can do it over the phone. That's any regional office can do that.
What are the season times for black bear?
We set black bear seasons on a 3-year cycle. So they shouldn't change too much in that 3-year cycle. But typically, you know, we have seasons open in the spring in April or May. And then close over the summertime period, open up again September to October in most places. Again, mortality limits in all those areas, except Area 35 is basically the rest of the state of Wyoming outside any of the bear hunt areas. And that is open April 15th to June 15th, and then closes down and open again August 1st to August 31st. And there are no mortality limits there. Again, those are areas we don't typically see many bears anyway.
Right.
So, but all the other areas vary, opening dates, closing dates, mortality limits. So really encourage people to go check out the regulation before they decide they want a bear hunt.
Do you have to have a bait site to hunt, or are you allowed to just kind of roam around public land or anywhere there's bear?
Yeah, absolutely. You do not have to have a bear bait or a bear bait site to hunt black bears. You can hunt through the fall, spot and stalk method. Many people have a black bear license in their pocket while they're elk hunting in case they see one. So that's another fairly common way to hunt black bears. What black bear baiting can do and what folks typically do is it allows for more selectivity. So they can, as those bears are coming in, they can distinguish if they're a male or a female. And decide, you know, whether or not it's the bear they want to take. Whereas if you're doing spot and stalk, you see a bear, a couple seconds to make a decision whether or not you want to take that bear. And going back to our black bear regulations, it's a female mortality limit. So once the number of females is reached, that's when the season closes. Until that's reached, folks can still harvest males. So again, that selectivity can allow a little more bear harvest to happen throughout the season.
What goes in to the bait sites for a hunter? If you know, if they're not waiting in line for 2 days like they used to, and now it's jump online, you can go through the process pretty quickly. What do they have to really be concerned about when they're looking at placing a bait site?
I'm going to run down some of the dates real quick, if you don't mind, just to get through that.
Yeah.
Because there are different processes and different time periods. And so again, we talked about the renewal period being March 1st to March 20th. Those are for folks who had a bait site last year, provided us GPS locations, and baited that site. They can renew in that time period. After that is over, on March 21st, we'll have a map posted to our website, again, in the same location under the black bear regulations. Folks can go in and look at that map and see what bait sites or sections are open in the state. And then they can apply for up to 6 sites, 6 choices, I guess, from March 21st to March 28th. They can only receive, the general public, up to 2 bait sites. So again, you can apply for 6, basically choices 1 through 6, but you can only receive 2 of those. We'll have those results out by April 1st. So folks know if they were successful or not. And then after that, on April 7th, we go to first come, first serve again at our regional offices.
So we got this process of the bait sites, and then the closing of the seasons when that mortality rate is hit. If someone harvests a black bear, what's the process after that to ensure that the proper information is available?
Yeah, so after someone harvests a black bear, they're required to check that in, again, at a regional office or the Cheyenne headquarters within 72 hours or with department personnel. They have to check that bear in within 72 hours. So that's how we ensure that the mortality limits are updated, or the mortality is updated daily on the website or on the phone. And we get a lot of other information off of that as well. We get body condition. We get the age. We do take teeth. We take two teeth, or one or two teeth. We take DNA samples. So that helps with our management statewide, having all of that information. So, again, we get a lot more than just whether it's a male or a female. Yeah. But it allows us to closely monitor so we don't go over those mortality limits.
Yeah,
so those mortality limits, I think it's important. They're not quotas. So it's not. It's not always a goal to reach those. It's a mortality limit. So that's the maximum we feel like we should allow to be harvested to stay within our kind of our management framework for all of those hunt areas.
Honestly, I feel a little more comfortable with the information because, again, at the beginning, I had no idea. I'd never even really thought about it. But the process is that it's just a process that you have to be up on. And if it's something that you want to do, research is the way to go about it. And always remember, if you have questions, reach out to Wyoming Game and Fish. Janet, Jason, thank you guys both so much. I feel like I know a little bit more about bear baiting than maybe I knew prior to this show. If you have more questions, again, you can contact Game and Fish. Back with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports in minutes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Drew along with Brian Woodward, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, Brian, it's that time of year. Spring has sprung. Even the calendar says spring is here.
And it is definitely here. We are seeing typical spring weather where we've got snowstorms one day, afternoon rain showers the next day, coupled with a little bit of wind. It's here. Spring is here.
We were talking a little bit earlier about how winter wasn't a typical winter because we didn't get nearly the snow we were going to get. It only got cold a few times where it was, you know, noticeable. But the spring looks like it is going to be a typical spring. And matter of fact, the warm weather and wind has really opened the waters.
Yeah, the lakes are opening up nicely. I know Grey Rocks is open. Glendo's almost all open at this point. We're going to start seeing Alcova opening up. Starting actually tomorrow, they're going to start flushing the river. So they're going to raise that water flow up to, I think, 4,000 is the projection. And once they start moving water through Alcova and out of Alcova, it starts opening up pretty quick.
So guys are getting out on the boat. They're antsy. We talked about people are antsy anyway. When it was 70 in the middle of January, you know, people want to get their boats out and unwinterize them and then re-winterize them. But, you know, we were talking about that snowstorm or maybe the rainstorms here or there. You get out on the water, you want to be prepared and get that dry bag full of goodies.
I tell you, this is a time of year where I still wear, keep a beanie in my bag, and I keep a pair of insulated bibs in there, good rain wear. What kind of shoes I'm wearing is depending on what I think is going to happen with the weather. You know, sometimes I'm wearing muck boots or some chore boots. Other times I can get away with tennis shoes, and sometimes very rarely this time of year can I get away wearing flip-flops or a sandal, you know?
Yeah, and being prepared for those days because, you know, you start out in the morning, no matter what the morning is, it's going to be pretty chilly, and you warm up throughout the day and things pop up. So always being prepared, and you guys have a great selection. You really just started carrying Striker just not long ago.
Yeah, we've had them for a couple of years, and really, really happy and pleased with the quality of their stuff. You know, I mean, it's good stuff. It's we've worn it at some of the tournaments, and it keeps us dry all day long. It doesn't soak in like some other rain gear does. It's just good quality stuff. You're gonna buy a pair, and you're gonna be able to keep it for 10 years.
Yeah, and there are multiple types of it too, right? Where you get the more insulated for the cooler times, and then just the stuff that you're not sweaty in, but you're just dry.
Yeah, I've got probably three different pairs of bibs that I wear, and sometimes I do have some just waterproof pants also. But I like wearing the bibs. I mean, they're easy to throw on. It goes over whatever clothing I have, and I've got some that's really lightweight that just is nice to kind of break the wind, on an average day. But it'll also keep me dry. Or if this, you know, these early spring mornings, you know, having a little bit of an insulated bib is really nice to have as well.
And obviously, if you're out and about, maybe you're up on Casper Mountain and doing some snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, the weather is some semi-warm up there as well, but you get that wind whipping across and snow blowing. So, you know, having yourself prepared for that up there as well, too. You guys have all kinds of winter wear or mid-season wear.
Well, it's nice to carry like a, you know, a Camelback. You know, you bring some water up with you, but you got enough there to put a roll bag in there of you know, maybe some extra layers of clothing in case the wind does pick up, or extra pair of gloves in case you get wet, you know, whatever the case is. And it's just, you know, we've talked about being prepared, you know, and just try to make the best of it. You don't want to, you know, drive 20 minutes up the mountain, get up there, start snowshoeing, and then go, gosh dang it, I forgot something.
Yeah, always have your stuff. And you have multiple size packs here too. If maybe you're not going to carry the Camelback, you're going to, you know, have a little backpack, you're going to go on an extended excursion.
Right. Yeah, we've got pretty much anything that you would need to have a successful weekend trip. And, you know, this time of year, a lot of guys are doing a lot of different things. You know, I mean, there's guys starting to see a lot of fly fishermen come through, whether they're hitting the mile or hitting the reef. There's guys even floating through town. I've seen quite a few guys coming in here that said that they're fishing right in town, even through like the rapids and those areas. So there's lots to do. There's a lot of guys out there with shooting sports. You know, looks like Rocky Mountain has started their meat shoots on Friday, Friday nights. I think it's the first Friday of the month. So we're starting to see some guys doing some clays and some trap shooting. There's a lot of different benefits that are coming up that are, you know, trap shooting related. So anything that you're looking to do, I mean, there's a lot of great opportunities right now.
So you had mentioned shooting, and Bob at Riverbend and, you know, the bird farms, they have just a couple of weeks left there. Mm-hmm. But then they kind of transition into the clay shooting.
Yeah, so the bird farm will actually close up on the 31st. There's a couple different events going on over the next couple weekends, or the last couple weekends anyways. But there's still lots of opportunity, and he's got lots of birds. You know, so if you're wanting to get the dog out, a couple more trips, now's a good time to get that done. And then, yeah, HD Outdoors, you know, they've been doing some veteran-based clay shooting. I think it's the first Friday or second Friday of the month,
right?
Out there at Bob's. And they basically cover all the expenses for any veteran that would like to go out there. And just a good pastime, you know. I mean, yeah, we get to shoot some clays, but, you know, more likely we're sitting around just talking at the picnic tables and, you know, telling stories, and really just the camaraderie to get out and do something. So that's been a really fun event out there at Bob's too for HD Outdoors.
And then speaking of HD, I believe May 3rd is when they're going to do their clays for the Brave again. So that event, so really what we're saying is you need to come in and get the ammo that you need to break some clay so that you are prepared for all this. Because, you know, this part of the season, if you're not on the water, I mean, there's not much else to shoot. So breaking clays to get you some gun time.
Well, and it's a great way to spend a couple hours in a day, you know, whether you've got kids or, you know, you want to take your wife out and let her play around and, yeah, you know, maybe try to get her trained up a little bit and give her some experience behind a shotgun.
You're not saying like the dog, right? Like,
well, you know, I mean, it's nice to have somebody that can actually walk you through, you know, the mechanics of shooting a shotgun, you know? I mean, yeah. I need training. I've had a couple guys in my past that have, like, you know, kind of walked me through how to swing yeah, how to swing a gun and how the target should look at the end of the barrel. So I mean, we all know there's no training women.
Hey, honey, go stomp around in the brush over there. Yeah, see if there's any birds.
There's no training women. I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, your wife or husband would agree with you that Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is your stop before you head out to the field. Obviously, if you need ammo, there's a great selection, and stock is good on ammo. Firearms, I mean, things are looking good.
Yeah, we've got lots of stuff. And, like, as far as clays go, you know, you can come in, pick up a box of clays, and we've got 100 packs of shotgun shells. So that's usually when you're shooting a round up there at the Skeet Club. You know, you're shooting 100 rounds at a time. So one big brick of 100-round shells, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, get out here, check it out. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Brian and Drew back, and Rocky Mountain Discount Sports isn't just one of the coolest stores in Casper. it's really the center where you can come and get a lot of things done. Like we were talking about going up on Casper Mountain, but if you're taking a snowmobile, you got to have the stickers or the ORV tags. You got to get those here. Even as far as, you know, like banquet tickets and opportunities like that.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of pretty center to a lot of things around here, and we try to help out, you know, a lot of these different organizations, like, you know, the hockey teams and baseball teams. And so a lot of times, you know, you'll see kids out front selling tickets for raffles, and, you know, it seems sometimes like a pain, right? You have to walk past, you know, the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, you know, selling cookies, whatever. I mean, you know what they're doing. If you don't want to be involved, walk past them. But and at the same time, like a $20 donation, like for a raffle ticket, really does help out these organizations. And, you know, it helps provide, you know, uniforms and, you know, materials and rental spaces for their batting cages or whatever else. And so, you know, I mean, I got to walk past them every day, and, you know, that's like, like, I don't need any more guns, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, if you can help and donate, then it's an awesome opportunity.
Right. So when you think about things like that, you know, obviously, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports has many different opportunities, and I know that one of the things we talked about is, well, we're under a month now from the North Platte Walleyes Unlimited, their banquet, which is out at the fairgrounds this year.
Correct. Yeah, we kind of outgrew the hangar a little bit. The hangar did a fantastic job for us, and one of the best walleye meals that I think we've ever had with any of our banquets. But we just kind of outgrew the space, and we do still have tickets. I mean, it's a really big facility. I mean, we honestly could seat 800 people if we wanted to, or we had the demand for it. But we're gonna have some great raffles. We're gonna have some games. We're gonna have a great meal. It's an all-you-can-eat walleye banquet, $60 a seat. So if you just want to come as an individual and help out and see what it's all about, that'll be April 12th. I think doors open at 4:30, and I know you'll be there. We'll have Steve Price, our auctioneer, will be there from Cheyenne, and we're gonna just have a good night, and hopefully everybody can walk away with a few prizes, and we'll raise some money for a great cause.
When you mentioned the raising money, which we talked about, that it's, you know, all given back. There's nobody gets paid. It's all volunteer. It goes to, you know, fund fishing poles or you know, fish tanks. But if someone's paying $60, I mean, that's their all you can eat. And then there are other kind of opportunities after you pay that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple different games, you know, that'll give you opportunities to win a couple high-end rifles. We've got some pretty unique firearms available. And then we've got about 45 different raffle buckets that, you know, that are part of a general raffle. So you can buy tickets and, you know, win a fishing pole or rod and reel combos or bait buckets or, you know, I mean, you can put in for whatever items you like. We've always had some really good looking walleye prints and a few other wildlife prints that are going to be up for auction this year. It's just like a typical banquet that you go to, but you know, it's a little more walleye and fish related.
One of the things that I love about these banquets, which the Duck Unlimited banquet's coming up too, and you'll see the same folks at a lot of these different places. I know you go to a lot of them, and I've been to a lot of them, but that just shows that, you know, this area is very in tune with making sure conservation is on top of everyone's mind. And whether that's, you know, issues on the North Platte River, where we talked with Game and Fish about the Flushing Flow, and there are some possible future things that are kind of causing an issue with power plants and how this could really affect it. But when people come together in events like this, everybody's pretty much on the same mindset, and that's how you really get, I guess, people on your side for some of these.
Well, I think, you know, if you have an interest, you know, if you're passionate about whatever it is, whether it's fishing, hunting, that kind of stuff, or you're passionate about, you know, volleyball, basketball, you know, youth soccer. I mean, if you're passionate about youth soccer, you'd want to be involved in the new ranch facility up on top of the hill by the event center. And if you haven't been there, go take a look at it. It's a fantastic place. But if you're like 90% of the people that have moved to Wyoming because they love the outdoors, then you want to stay active and involved in what's going on with the outdoors. There's a lot of key issues that are out there right now. You know, the Game and Fish just got authority to regulate guide services on the river particularly, but it's going to affect guys that are guiding on the reservoirs as well. If that's something that interests you, you know, there's other issues that are going on with just water to the North Platte. You know, there's a jack pump that's being proposed up off of Seminole on the Q Ranch, and there's a lot of concern. And if you're concerned about that type of stuff, the Trout Unlimited is kind of steamrolling that to show what kind of an impact that this jack pump and this 107,000 acre reservoir could have on as an effect on both Seminole, the Miracle Mile, and everything downriver from that. So again, you know, you can sit back and just complain about things, or you can be active and get involved and, you know, try to educate yourself and understand, you know, why would somebody be concerned about, you know, water temperature fluctuations, you know, because of a jack pump, or, you know, those types of issues. But I think, you know, we all feel like we're too busy. We all feel like everything is really expensive and we don't have money or time to do things. But at the same time, if you're passionate about it and you love fishing, you want to get involved in things that will affect, you know, your ability to fish. Game and Fish is looking at changing some regulations on the North Platte River, you know, in terms of they're looking at changing to single barb hooks up in the Miracle Mile. They're looking at regulating everything from Gray Reef to Government Bridge to flies only. There's a few things in there that I agree with. There's a few things I disagree with. And during the public comment period, which will be coming up here in the next month or so, I think it's important that if you have a dog in the fight, you should put the dog in the fight. You know, yeah. As a retailer, I've got a lot of customers that are traveling through town, and they say, hey, I'd like to go catch a trout. Where can I catch a trout? I've never caught a rainbow trout. You know, it's been really convenient for me to say, take a Panther Martin and go to Gray Reef and pitch a Panther Martin and cast it 100 times and you'll probably catch something. If this regulation changes, that won't be an option for them. You know, so then where do I send them? But I think, again, if you have some concerns about some of these issues, I think, you know, get involved. You know, the Walleye Club raises money to help enhance walleye fishing throughout the state of Wyoming. So whether that's new docks or life jacket loaner programs or walleye stocking programs or purchasing fish tanks or rearing tanks for the Game and Fish, those are all positive things that, in my mind, because I'm passionate about walleye fishing, but whatever it is that you're passionate about, you know, the Ducks Unlimited banquet was last night, you know.
Right.
If you like waterfowl hunting and you like the conservation and being able to raise habitat areas for, you know, breeding grounds, that's an event you probably should have been at.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And on the flip side of that, if maybe you're new to the outdoors or you're new to the area and you're looking to get involved with those things, mm-hmm. this is where you're going to find almost everybody that has anything to do with what you want, like the ducks last night or the walleye banquet coming up, or, you know, if it's, you know, ducks, the Mule Deer Foundation or Muley Fanatics next week, the mm-hmm. Mule Deer Days down in Green River and that area. Mm-hmm. But so these are all great opportunities. And really, stopping in here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is really a good starting place because, you know, you have information about most of those events.
Yeah, you know, we keep a lot of brochures and, you know, advertisements for these upcoming events on our bulletin board. Of course, you know, Facebook, you know, you can always search, you know, Ducks Unlimited or yeah. Mule Deers or Walleye. And you'll probably come up with some kind of, you know, organization that's local. You know, the Trout Unlimited, the Turkey Federation. I mean, you name it. There's the Bighorn Sheep is having a banquet coming up as well. There's a lot of good things to get involved with. And, you know, sometimes it just, you know, might just be a nice night out. I mean, the walleye banquet, you know, our auctioneer comes up because he said it's the best yeah. Meal that he's ever been to for yeah. at any auction he's ever been at. So that's telling in itself that, you know, come and have a good meal at least.
You know, something else, you know, you come here and this can be your starting point, but if you are new to the area or you want to find a new area, you guys actually have whole maps as soon as you walk in the door that, you know, it really, this is the could be the focal point of anything you need outdoors. So,
well, there is a lot to do. And, you know, like we said, we've talked about your ORV tags and your state park passes mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And we do carry, the state offers some ORV trail maps, you know, for different areas. And, you know, if you don't have a Garmin that can give you directions on all these trails and stuff, you know, I mean, the old paper maps work pretty good. Get up on Casper Mountain and tool around and kind of figure things out. That's a quick, easy one, right? And then, of course, you want to venture down to Saratoga or to other areas. You know, those maps are a great place to start and, you know, get yourself out and enjoy what we've got here.
Of course, get here and see them here. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.